This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With former prosecutor and guest Lori Gilbertson.
Koberger, speedy trial has been waived. There's a lot of things that could be happening here on out and a lot of time to do it. As a former prosecutor, what do you see happening next for the Koberger case?
I wasn't too surprised that he waived the speedy trial, you know, especially once a formal schedule started to be set. I think it all becomes very real. And what I've seen from the defense is just, you know, motion after motion, many of them, as the defense even said, going against the history of modern jurisprudence. So we're not really talking about a lot of things that they might prevail on here. Mm-hmm. So what I have seen is that, you know, this kind of waiving of speedy trial for an indefinite period is something that is very unusual.
Yeah.
You know, cases like this, though, a death penalty case, multiple murders, obviously there are very strong concerns on all sides that this be a fair trial where all sides have time to prepare. So that's the ultimate consideration, but it is rare to see it waived for an indefinite period like here. So what would happen from here is that motions will continue to be filed by both the defense and the prosecution. The judge will hold whatever hearings are necessary. They won't necessarily be under the same kind of time constraints as whether if speedy trial had not been waived by the defendant. And what that means is the prosecution has to get the case to trial within a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And so here the defendant, Brian Koberger, is saying, I'm going to waive all that. And the prosecution has time. And now I have time. And we can all prepare and then go when we are all ready. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he's saying. And, you know, so you'll see all the procedural motions and everything else going forward in this case. And hopefully the judge will, despite the waiver, keep that on a tight schedule. Because what happens here when this kind of thing is waived indefinitely is that, you know, witnesses can start to forget things. Memories can start to go a bit. And you have these victims' families who live with the loss and brutal murder of their loved ones every single day and want to just kind of get this over with, mm-hmm. you know, and just see justice and accountability in whatever form that is going to take. So it just means more waiting for them. And that can make it difficult.
Is there a strategy involved here with making this play out longer? Does it work typically in the positive direction for the defense or for the prosecution when we're giving an indefinite stay on this right now?
It definitely plays in much more in favor of the defense.
Okay.
And what often I think gets forgotten here, or maybe just pushed to the side a bit, is that it is not only the defendant who is entitled to a speedy trial. The public and the community, as represented by the prosecution, is also entitled to a speedy trial here. So all of those concerns have to be weighed by the judge in this case. The defense can't just say, I don't ever want to try this case. You know, let's talk again in 5 years.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Sure.
It doesn't. So, you know, as I said, hopefully the judge will continue to keep those motions going on a pretty tight schedule, will make it very clear that frivolous motions are not to be tolerated. And with things such as, you know, what I think we've talked about before, Tony, the whole alibi issue and the defense not being very forthcoming with any evidence they intend to present, I would hope that the judge would really kind of lock down on that and be sure that despite any kind of waiver of speedy trial, that doesn't mean that other obligations go away. Everyone is still held to those same obligations. The defense still needs to turn over what is statutorily, meaning by law, required for them to turn over with this alibi or supposed alibi that he was just driving around on his own so that the prosecution can investigate it. And the prosecution always has important obligation of turning over any possible exculpatory evidence. That does not change at all with a waiver of a speedy trial. Those things are still in play.
Who ultimately is in control of the speed of this here? Ultimately, I know the judge is, but to a certain extent, I mean, obviously we don't want frivolous motions and things of that nature, but I mean, how long can this go on for with motions and such, frivolous or not?
You know, the judge is in charge here.
Yeah.
The judge is in charge. And, you know, we've seen a lot of this kind of play out in the national news. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen all of this going on with former President Trump now being in front of various judges and all sorts of trial dates being asked for. And the prosecution asks for one thing, the defense asks for another. And the judge ultimately makes that call mm-hmm. and says, here is the schedule. This is what we're doing. So that, you know, even with this waiver of speedy trial, that doesn't mean that this should go on for years and years. That would be completely unfair to the prosecution. It would be completely unfair to the public and the community. And, you know, you weigh that, and the judge will weigh that as the ultimate authority of telling the defense when they need to be ready for trial. And the fact, though, you know, Tony, think about it, this is a death penalty case. While every single case, you know, in a criminal case needs to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, and every single case is entitled to the same due process considerations, meaning the defense gets to be heard, the prosecution gets to be heard, the defendant has, you know, all of the rights that are put out legally. What we often see in death penalty cases is that there's a sort of heightened due process because of what the outcome can be. And so that does come into play where, you know, sometimes the defense does get more time, or sometimes the prosecution does get more time because of what's at stake here, because that's so different from so many other cases, even though legally every single case should be the same that way.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.